Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Republican leadership's breathtaking hypocrisy as they feign indignation over remarks made by Congressman Todd Akin that are identical to the views contained in the Republican platform now being prepared for next week's convention. Joining us is Jody Jacobson, the president and editor-in-chief of RH Reality Check, where she has an article, "As Romney and Ryan Dissemble, RNC Prepares Radical Anti-Choice Platform Based on Personhood." Then we'll examine Syria's chemical weapons arsenal and its possible proliferation or use, which President Obama has warned is a red line that would provoke intervention. Raymond Zelinskis, a former UN weapons inspector in Iraq who now directs the Chemical and Biological Weapons Program at the Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute for International Studies, joins us. He has an article in The National Interest, "Preventing the Use of Syrian Chemical Weapons." Then finally, we will speak with David Sassoon, the publisher of InsideClimateNews.org, about Dilbit, a thick tar that is diluted with chemicals so that it can move through pipelines. He has an article in Tuesday's New York Times, "Crude, Dirty, and Dangerous," and we will discuss the hazards associated with transporting up to one quarter of our future oil supply across America from the Canadian tar sands to Texas via the Keystone XL pipeline that will be carrying the dirty and dangerous Dilbit. And joining us now is Jody Jacobson, a longtime leader in the health and development community and an advocate with extensive experience in public health, gender equity, human rights, environment, and demographic issues. She's currently president and editor-in-chief of RH Reality Check, where she just wrote the article, "As Romney and Ryan Dissemble, RNC Prepares Radical Anti-Choice Platform Based on Personhood." Welcome to Background Briefing, Jody Jacobson.
Thank you for having me.
And I must say, I'm watching, it's hard to keep up with the hypocrisy and lies that the Republican campaign have been doing since day one, in particular Mitt Romney. And it's just breathtaking to watch them try and spin this current situation that's been brought about by Representative Todd Akin and his extraordinary remarks that were an incredible combination of misogyny and ignorance. And they, of course, the entire Republican establishment, including Fox News' Hannity, who appears to be an unofficial advisor, they're all weighing in, trying to get this guy to drop out of the race because they figure they're going to lose the Senate seat in Missouri that they thought they had in the bag. This is so transparently all about holding onto a Senate seat or not losing a Senate seat they thought they were going to win. And everybody is sort of huffing and puffing about what a terrible statement it is. But apparently what this guy said is exactly what the Republican platform is going to say and is what they're writing at this very moment down in Tampa.
Yes. I mean, I think, first of all, you're absolutely correct that they're concerned about the Senate seat. There's no question about that. I think they're also concerned about the fact that the more that these questions persist about what he said and how he sort of stepped in it for the GOP, it raises awareness of, people's awareness that both Romney and Ryan basically support the same exact policies as are being written into the GOP platform, as Akin has already described them. I mean, Ryan and Akin together were co-sponsors of and voted on a bill to actually change the definition of rape in line with what Akin was discussing the other day. So this is not a strange thing to Paul Ryan, and I think that Romney and Ryan really don't want that conversation to be happening.
Well, if you've written in your article, Jody Jacobson, at RH Reality Check, "As Romney and Ryan Dissemble, RNC Prepares Radical Anti-Choice Platform Based on Personhood," you've written that Ryan is Akin without the political Tourette syndrome.
Right.
He was an original co-sponsor of the bill to redefine rape and to let Catholic hospitals deny women's care, and he also is co-sponsor of the Sanctity of Human Life Act. Now, how is that going to be worked into the platform, the Sanctity of Human Life Act, and what are the consequences of it?
Well, the platform as we now see it already includes the language on supporting a constitutional amendment for declaring the sanctity of human life of the quote-unquote unborn child. And what the technical and legal and policy meaning of that is that once an egg and a sperm have united to be, you know, make a fertilized egg, and even before it implants in the uterus, you will have be considered to be carrying a person if you are a woman who in which that fertilized egg is floating. And so as of that moment, that fertilized egg has all the rights of a living, breathing human person, and in fact, its rights will trump your own rights. So that the effect of that, practically speaking, is to not only ban all abortions for any reason whatsoever, but also to ban many forms, commonly used forms of hormonal birth control, the IUD, to ban in vitro fertilization, to criminalize miscarriage. There are a whole range of sort of cascading effects of this kind of law. And it's the very kind of law that has been rejected, otherwise known as a personhood amendment, has been rejected in states like Missouri and Colorado by resounding margins because people came to understand exactly what the implications were. So that is really those are the implications of this human life amendment. And, you know, not only has this become part of the platform, but Mitt Romney was very clear in several of the statements and during the debates of the primaries that he would sign such an amendment if it were passed. So, you know, there you have it.
So the idea that his vice president, Paul Ryan, is on the same page as Aiken, they've co-sponsored a lot of bills together, and they share the same belief that there can be no exceptions for abortion, and they both, as far as I know, are even against birth control. You have the Republican Party preparing its platform with all of these radical bills all rolled in to the platform. And then you've got Romney having in the primary debates said that he would sign a personhood bill. But the other day, in response to Aiken, he came out and basically said that he's against the whole idea of, he thought that was offensive, the remarks, but he does believe in the exception, abortion exception for rape and incest and the life of the mother. So is this just some kind of kabuki we're watching here? If his own vice president and the party believe one thing and he goes along with 99% of it, his only exception is that in the case of abortion, he will make an exemption for the life of the mother, rape and incest. Is that where he stands? Because I'm not entirely sure where he does stand.
The question of where he stands is really the question of the day. I mean, you know, what you've had and what we've tried to document on our site is the fact that Mitt Romney sort of transmogrified from a somewhat pro-choice governor into an extremely anti-choice presidential candidate over the past 5 years. And he has said so many different things. I am beginning to believe he doesn't even understand. There are certain times when I believe Mitt Romney is saying things he doesn't even understand the implications of what he's talking about, because he's so eagerly, if you watch some of these tapes from the debates, he's asked about things like, you know, a human life amendment. He so eagerly says, yes, yes, I'll sign that. Of course I would. And then comes out with statements like, no, of course I would allow exceptions. I don't really know if his team or he understands what he says he's signing onto. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, let's say that all politicians are somewhat opportunistic. Mitt Romney is nothing if he's not opportunistic, and he seems to feel no compunction about changing his position on things from one day to the next. I think you've seen a very similar pattern of shifting back and forth with regard to Ryan's budget plan and whether his plan is the same as Ryan's plan, quite different than Ryan's plan, actually the same as, I mean, from one day to the other, you can look at interviews that actually bounce back and forth between those. So I think this is his tendency, is that he so has his finger in the wind, and he so realizes that, A, he's got a gender gap, B, he's picked a vice presidential candidate he didn't think was going to be embroiled in an anti-choice debate, and C, he's now staked out some pretty extreme positions that he is not even sure of the consequences of.
Again, I'm speaking with Jodi Jacobson, a longtime leader in the health and development community and an advocate with extensive experience in public health, gender equity, human rights, environment, and demographic issues. She's currently president and editor-in-chief of RH Reality Check, where she just wrote the article, "As Romney and Ryan Dissemble, RNC Prepares Radical Anti-Choice Platform Based on Personhood." Now, Romney did fairly recently on the stump say that he would get rid of Planned Parenthood, categorically.
Yeah.
So Planned Parenthood, apparently, even though there's been this obsession about their role in abortion, that is, I think, only about 3% of what they do. And they certainly don't spend any government funds because that's against the law and has been for some time with the Hyde Amendment. They, as far as I know, do a lot of testing, you know, pap smears and stuff like that, screen for cancer, etc. And they offer contraception. That seems to be their big sin, if you will. He's pretty clear on that one, isn't he? So can't somebody out there ask him categorically, whether Romney, whether he's against contraception? Because if he wants to shut down Planned Parenthood, that's largely what they do, as far as I know. Isn't that a logical question to ask him?
It's a very logical question. And I personally believe that both of these candidates, you know, all the candidates, I really think all of the candidates, frankly, should be regularly asked very probing questions on these issues. I think too often what happens is that they get asked questions, you know, a single question, you know, oh, do you support contraception? And, you know, you can say, oh, sure, you know, I support people being able to use contraception. But, you know, you then have to follow up with, well, how do you, you know, in your budget, or how do you in your political stance ensure that low-income women and women living in poverty get access to reproductive health care, including contraception? You know, how do you, if you're going to cut off all Planned Parenthood funding, where are those services going to come from? Someone might ask, okay, in Texas, they cut off Planned Parenthood, and they said they would replace all of the services with their own existing clinics. In fact, there are no clinics that exist to provide those services, and women are now without them. How will you deal with that? These are the kinds of very specific questions I don't hear people asking, and those are the real-life consequences of these policies.
So is this just a problem that you have a candidate who's basically comes out of the business world and is running for CEO of America? He wants to manage America rather than lead America, and that he sees the press as something that can be managed by his vice president in charge of public affairs. Is that, I mean, he's so hard, they have so few real exchanges with him. When they do, they're usually pretty safe venues, and nobody much gets into any real substance. Is this what we're stuck with, just a feckless press?
A very managed candidate. And I think, you know, it's going to be critically important that the interviewers in the debates and other venues really ask hard questions. And I just don't see them being asked very frequently. But as you said, I think they also don't make themselves available to ensure that those questions are asked. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us, I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican, or, you know, the Green Spaghetti Monster, that we all be very clear that we want our candidates to be transparent and be asked hard questions.
And the whole point of this conversation is that there's not much difference, if any, between the attitudes of Todd Akin, the congressman, who talked about legitimate rape as opposed to real rape, and had this peculiar idea about women's bodies. And what was interesting about his Taliban-like formulation and prognostication was that he keeps referring to women's bodies, not the women.
Right, exactly.
They're not persons.
Exactly.
They're just things. But what is really shocking is that this guy, Akin, is on the science committee. I mean, this is, you know, he's a perfect exemplar of anti-science based upon his extraordinary ignorant ideas about reproductive health. But the long and the short of it is there's no difference between this guy and Paul Ryan and the platform that the Republican Party is now drafting in Tampa, which they're going to run on. I mean, obviously, the candidate can always sort of try and wiggle out of it. But what does this say? I mean, you know, he's running to be the head of a party and a country, and he doesn't want to acknowledge how much he is connected to this party? I mean, hello?
I think that, you know, I always have in my head the question of why does X and such person want to be elected, want to be president, want to be whatever? You know, what is it they really are doing that for? Why is it that Mitt Romney actually wants to be president? Is it because he thinks it's a glorious position or what have you, or what is driving him? Because from my vantage point, you know, I have to say, there has been almost no position that he has ever taken that he hasn't changed in order to be president. So it's not like there is a driving force inside of him and a core set of beliefs, and certainly not a core set of beliefs around women's rights in the public sphere to which he is, you know, holds allegiance. And I think because of that, it's very suspect that, you know, he will take any position that will get him elected. And that's what worries me. And it would worry me about a Democrat or a Republican, a state candidate, a Senate candidate, what have you. I always feel very nervous when people are so willing to change their positions and change their positions in ways that are so obviously against what the science and the evidence say.
Well, I can tell you why he's running for president, Jody Jacobson, because he loves America.
Well, I suppose.
I'm serious.
In his own way.
No, that's what that's as much as he said. I mean, I think it's an incredibly important question to ask him. Why are you doing this? I mean, it seems to me that what's actually happening here is he's running this campaign like a leverage buyout in venture capital, and he will say anything to close the deal. That's
exactly
what it's about. I mean, but he doesn't say why he wants to close this deal and what he wants to do with the deal once he's closed it. I mean, that's the part that's so extraordinary.
Exactly.
It's
that's
sort
exactly
of
right.
Ambition without purpose, you know?
Ambition without purpose. I think that's exactly right.
So I understand that the Republicans are the daddy party and the Democrats are the mummy party, and 60% of American women vote Democrat and 60% of American males vote Republican, and that seems to be the divide. So, you know, I don't know whether you can, the women of this country on the Republican side are affected by this or whether it concerns them, but they're certainly not saying anything. But what about the young women who voted in 2008? One of the things that I understand about this race is that if Obama were to get the same number of votes he got in 2008, we wouldn't be having a discussion. It would be a walk. There'd be nothing to discuss in this campaign. But there's a great deal of doubt as to whether the young people, in many ways, who put Obama over the top by a wide margin last time, are sitting this out. So what's going on with young women? Don't they realize that in a very short period, if these people get in, these kind of American Taliban types, who really seem to be more obsessed with this stuff than anything else, it's their legislative priority. So the minute they get into power, they're going to enact all of this stuff, and we'll have this bizarre country, this patchwork of red and blue states where you'll have young women in red states going to Greyhound bus stations to travel to blue states to get abortions, and there'll be Christian vigilantes checking for their papers, and all of this weird stuff that's going to happen here, because this is obviously an obsession that a lot of people have about other people's bodies.
I think that young women, you know, the category of sort of young women, are very energized and very aware of what's happening to them with these policies and the options that they have that are being foreclosed. I also think that there are other issues. You know, for example, I heard that in the party platform committee there were a number, today in the GOP, a number of younger Republicans who were raising the issue of wanting to include marriage equality as a part of the plank for the Republican Party, who were shut out by older, more established power brokers in the Christian right. And so I think, you know, to some extent, there's a sort of dichotomy between what the Republican Party stands for and the fact that younger voters don't agree with those positions and the sort of rejection of them and their ideas outright, and the effects of these policies on real people. I mean, there are real effects for example, college students and young women entering the labor force and low-income women who are in their 20s, of the kinds of policies that have been promoted by the GOP, and I think they know that, and they will be out there. Now, you know, whether between the issues of that Obama has had in terms of generating excitement for this election and also things like voter ID and so forth, whether those things will have a counter effect, I can't say.
Well, Jody Jacobson, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Jody Jacobson, who's a longtime leader in the health and development community and an advocate with extensive experience in public health, gender equity, human rights, environment, and demographic issues. She's currently president and editor-in-chief of RH Reality Check, where she just wrote the article, "As Romney and Ryan Dissemble, RNC Prepares Radical Anti-Choice Platform Based on Personhood." We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a former weapons inspector and expert in chemical weapons. We're looking into what Syria has and what's going to happen to Syria's WMD.
Hey, beautiful bird, I said, digging her somber mood. The fascists are some heavy dudes. They don't really give a damn about life. They just don't want a woman to control her body or have the right to choose. But baby, that ain't nothing. They just want a male finger on the button. Because if you say war, they will send them to die by the score. Aborting mission should be your volition, but if Sudan Thomas have their way...